Hey, it's awesome to be here with you guys. If you don't know me, my name's Cody Watucky. I'm the student minister here at Sagemont. I get to run around with all of our teenagers and our awesome 11 and 12-year-olds who are not teenagers yet. So every week, I specifically hang out with junior high, 6th through 8th grade, and it's awesome today, and I do not take for granted the opportunity to be here with you guys and open up the Word of God. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go ahead and open up to Mark 12, all right? Mark 12, verses 28 through 34. That's where we're going to be this morning. And here's this morning's bottom line for the message, all right? So this is the big idea, the main idea. The bottom line for this morning is we can't treat the great commandment like a great suggestion, all right? We can't treat the great commandment as if it is a great suggestion. And so this morning, as we open the Word of God, my hope is as we walk through this passage together, that you would be encouraged and you would be challenged. You see, because the great commandment is something that you and I are called to follow as believers in Jesus. It's not always easy, right? Obedience is not always easy, but it's always worth it when you and I go out and live out our faith before others. So my prayer for you this morning as we dig into this is, where exactly is it in your walk that you need to sharpen things or be able to take a step of faith out deeper into the waters when it comes to you and your walk for the Lord? And I'm praying that for the same thing myself. So let me read this over us this morning. This is Mark 12, 28 through 34. This is the great commandment. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that, he answered them well and asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions." So that's our passage for this morning. Now, I could take a poll, right? And many of us would probably say that we know of the Great Commission, right? And in student ministry this morning, we actually camped out in that passage for a little while. We've heard of the Great Commission, right? To go forth into all creation and to proclaim the goodness of God, right? But how many of us know this? To love God first and foremost and to love others, you know the Great Commission. And the question I want to dive into this morning is just kind of go straight in the deep end is, do you live by it? Do we live by it as believers, right? Because as followers of Jesus, we have one of two options. We can either live it out before others and speak it, or we can just speak it and not live it out. We have those two choices. And it's not on anybody else to make that decision. That decision comes down to us. And what is it that we're going to do to live by that, right? And we're going to see today that you and I can't just be okay ignoring the great commandment, right? For the students in the room, you know this very well. When your parents tell you to do something over and over and over again, and you don't do it, what happens? You're going to get in some trouble. Husbands, when your wife has a honey-do list for you, and she tells you, "Babe, can you do this? Honey, can you do this? Teddy bear, can you do this?" Right? Whatever her nickname is for you, and you ignore it over and over and over again, eventually you're probably going to get in trouble, right? Or let's just say time and time again, you ignore some letters or some contact from the IRS, right? You can try to like hide it, sweep it under the rug, but they're going to communicate with you, right? And so we can't be okay, just like we wouldn't ignore those things in our life. We can't be okay with ignoring the great commandment in our life. We have to be willing to walk the walk and to talk the talk. And so maybe you're like me and you've asked God before, what is the most important thing that I can do in my relationship with you, God? What is the most important thing, right? Because there's so many different things that can pull at us, so many different things that can keep our attention or different expectations that other people put on you that aren't from the Lord. That happens. And you have to viably choose whichever one you're going to do, whether you're going to live as God has called you to, or if you're going to try to live up to some expectation of somebody else who is not the Lord. And you have to figure out what it is that you're going to run with, right? Because we have that decision to make. What can I do in my relationship with you, God? What is the most important? And Jesus tells us flat out, as plain as day, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. So the first point that I want us to discuss this morning from the text is this. More than anything else, we are to love God with our entire being. First point for the morning. More than anything else, we are to love God with all of our being. Now, there are so many different things we can love in this life, right? You can love food. You can love your job. You can love school. You can love extracurriculars. You can love hobbies, right? All these different things that you can love. And some of these things aren't inherently bad, meaning they are not naturally evil, okay? But what happens is many times these habits, these things that aren't the Lord, develop into something which can harm us. And sometimes it's not always easy to talk about, right? Like guys, when we choose to go golfing on Sunday instead of worship the Lord, right? Or whatever it else it is that we put in place in front of God, we say, hey, this isn't as important. We talk about this to the students. Look, we want students to make good grades, right? But at the same time, we want them to be in the Word of God. So we want them to carve out time to read scripture, to dig in, and not just to read their math textbooks or their English textbooks, whatever it might be. Because yes, their job is to get good grades. Parents, I'm not telling that to your students, right? Go and get bad grades. We're telling them, make sure that you make time for you and your growth in your walk with Christ. And adults, it's the same thing for us, right? Like you might be that person that's super disciplined. You get up early before anybody else in your house, and maybe that's your time to go to the gym. Or maybe that's your time to sit down and watch the news without 20 kids running around, right? And you have that time. You're disciplined to have that time. So what does it look like for you and I to be continually disciplined as well in loving God with all of our being? You see, there's so many things that fight for our attention. And I'll be honest with you, many of them right now we can hold in the palm of our hand, right? We can hold it. There's everything there. And we can choose to give complete attention and devotion to all these things that society tells us is, hey, this is where you need to be focused. 35-year-old, 28-year-old, right? 55-year-old. Here's all the things that you need to be doing. And if you're not doing those things right now, you're living wrong. Right? And it could be a bunch of different things. And it could be from a lot of different sources. It could be from the radio. It could be from TV. Maybe it's putting your career before the Lord and not fulfilling your role within your family as you're called to be. Right? Sometimes career comes first. I love to work too. I love to be here at all times, right? But I also understand that my role in who God has created me to be is the spiritual leader of my family and to lead my wife and to lead my daughter. And then the next thing that comes, right, is for me and what God has called me to do here, which is lead and shepherd and guide these students and work together with the team that God has put around me so that we can see a generation, the generation that is right now, changed by the gospel. Not the leaders who are coming into, because this is my thing as student minister. I'm just going to get this off my chest. The students are not the next generation. They are the right now. Right? They are the right now. They're already serving. They're already stepping into leadership roles. And so when we talk about the next generation, what we're looking at, what we're talking about, who we're praying for, is we're praying for our kiddos that are in the children's ministry building right now. Those are the ones who are coming in. Those are the ones who are stepping into those roles. And so what we have to do as moms and dads and aunts and uncles and pastors and friends is to equip each other. Iron sharpens iron. And more than anything else, we are to love God with all of our being. And the reality is that you and I know that we are not called to love God just halfway. We're not called to do it. Or to play sports halfway, or to work in our careers halfway. That won't get us anywhere. It's gonna make us stagnant, right? Before I was a minister, I used to go and bust tires at Discount Tire, and I had a blast. I used to act like a complete hooligan with my friends back there, right? And if somebody wasn't pulling their weight, it was my job to tell them, you need to step it up. You need to work faster. You gotta use your back a little bit more. Whatever you gotta do to get this car out, you gotta do it. Right? And so we need people in our life in the same way that can tell us when we're not running the race that we're supposed to run. And when we're not running at the pace which we're supposed to. Because it's not okay for us to just live on the fence when it comes to Jesus. For us to be lukewarm, for us to be passive, what we like to call a couch potato Christian, right? Christ wants us to live all out for him. And sadly, so many people just drift through their life, their walk with Christ, never truly taking steps of faith. And recently, we talked about this in the student ministry. It's like for those of us that go to the water park, all right, Schlitterbahn, wherever, right? And your favorite thing to do at the water park isn't to go down the slide where if something goes wrong, it could be terribly bad for you, right? It's you like to go in the lazy river and just float, right? You're like, Jesus, take the wheel. I'm floating down the river, right? And you could stay there all day. And half of your body could be completely crisp like bacon by the time you're done. But you're there and you're just floating and you're loving it. Why? Because there's nothing that you have to do. All you do is pick your inner tube, make the effort to jump up in that thing, which isn't really that easy, right? Once it's in the water. And then you're going. And you're just waving at people, right? You're just going. And we can choose to make that same thing, that same decision in our walks with Christ. Because there comes a point where you just kind of have to be like, I'm not okay with just drifting through life, with just going through the motions. I need to get out of this inner tube, so to speak, and start taking steps. Because sometimes what God is going to call us to do is to go against the current. And the current is everybody else's expectations that we try to live up to. And what the enemy tries to whisper in our ear and the things that he wants us to believe that are not from the Lord. And this passage tells us that we are to love the Lord with all, with complete 100%, four different things that make us up. And the first thing is heart. Now, the heart is significant because it's the first thing which we, in order to be forgiven and found in him, surrender to the Lord. We surrender our heart, we surrender our life to him. And you see, scripture tells us that our heart can lead us astray, right? It can lead us astray. And we know this is true because sometimes our ambitions, the things that we want so deeply, they're not in the will of God for us. And we fight all the time with the Lord. And maybe it's not publicly, maybe it's not blatantly obvious, but you're gonna do everything you can to not let that thing go, even though God has shown you over and over and over again, it's not in his will.
And there comes this day, this decision that you have to make where you surrender that to the Lord and trust that he has something greater for you, right? Maybe it's a promotion at work that you really wanted, students. Maybe it's that dream school that you want to go to. But you have to let those things go and trust in the Lord. And scripture also tells us that the Lord will direct our steps, that he will guide us. He will go before us. He will make our path straight. So rather than following our heart, right, or as the phrase that's popular today, living out your own truth, living out your own truth, we have to look and see where God is leading and be obedient to the things that he has called us to do. So if he's leading, we have to follow. Part of our walks with Jesus, part of our deal as his followers is not to try to walk in front of him and hold his hand and say, okay, Jesus, here's where I'm going. It's the opposite, right? We can have our arm outstretched and he can be holding our hand and he's going to lead us where he wants us to go. And we have to follow whatever that looks like, right? It would be like maybe you're planning on doing a road trip, okay? And for some reason, you want to go to Washington State, all right? So you're going to set out here from Houston, and nobody really uses like a hardcore GPS anymore. You know, like when TomToms came out, and it was like you had to go out and buy the TomTom from wherever the Lord led you to buy it from, you know? Now everybody just has Google Maps on their phone, right? And they use that. So it would be like you're there in the driveway, you've got everything packed, you haven't forgotten a kid, and everybody's, right, everybody's there. And so you put in your destination, Google Maps tells you this is the quickest way from point A to point B that you're going to get to your destination. And so your wife's like, okay, I've got it, we're ready. And you're like, babe, we don't need that, I got this. And so you just ignore the path, and you're like, I'm going to blaze my own trail. We're going to do this. And 2 days later, you find yourself in New York, right? Way off the mark from Washington State. And so if it wouldn't make sense, if you've never traveled to Washington State before, if you haven't taken that path from Houston all the way there in your car, you're going to need guidance. And if you don't look to something that can provide guidance, and for us as humans, our guidance needs to come from the Lord, we're going to get lost. We're going to go wayward. That's our tendency, right? Our tendency as human beings, as much as we want it to be, is not for us to just follow directly the path that God has set in motion for us. Our tendency is to go astray, right? It's to come out in the open field, way outside, way left, way right, whatever it might be. And so we need to listen to the areas in which he's guiding us, right? Not just to say, oh God, it's okay, I got this, right? I can handle this. I know Washington State like the back of my hand. And if we surrender our heart to the Lord, what should come after that is growth in obedience. Growth in obedience. You see, you and I, the moment that we lay our faith in Jesus, it's not just like the story's over then. Yes, you are saved. Yes, there is nothing that could ever take you out of the hand of God. Your salvation is secure in him, but it is also your job to continue to grow, right? I tell our junior hires all the time, when you come in sixth grade, the reality is that your walk should not look the same when you are a senior walking across this platform for Senior Recognition Sunday. You shouldn't be in the same place. And if you're in the same place, there were things that you ignored when the Lord told you to move on those things. And adults, it's the same thing for us. God can speak to our hearts about areas where we need to grow, things that we need to do, and it's a lot easier to just ignore those things, right? And sometimes we're just like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus, what do you want me to do here, right? But growth and obedience should come. Following God should be a thing for us where it's not just lip service. I mean, because we can do that, but it's only going to get us so far. We can fool man, we can't fool the Lord, right? We can try, but it won't work out. So the question that I have to ask this morning to you and to myself is, have you truly surrendered your life to Jesus? Or do you just know of him? Because the difference between knowing of Jesus and who he is as a son of God and as a historical person, and then there is also a difference between knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believing who he said he is and that he died on that cross for you so that you could be forgiven. And that we're not perfect. Because the other option is we can follow our heart and still be going in circles because the things that we give the most love to aren't the Lord. These things are what I like to call our beloved sins. They're the things that are so hard to let go of, right? We can let other things fall, but not this thing. Jesus, don't take this thing away from me because I need this, right? And it can be a lot of different things. Your beloved sin can be greed. Your beloved sin could be pride. Your beloved sin could be a lot of different things. But it's the thing that you have a hard time letting go and giving over to Jesus. And that's the exact thing he wants you to let go, because letting go of that thing means that you go deeper in your walk with him. And so we have to look at this. If our heart can lead us astray, then we have to look to the one, look to our God who can take a heart of stone and bring it back to life and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Where are you calling me to go? And I will go. No matter what other people say, no matter what other people think about me, because I'll be honest, I'm an extrovert. I love to talk to people, right? Also, my personality type, I care a lot about what people think. But the reality is that's something that I have to give over to the Lord, because what matters most is who my identity is in Jesus and not what everybody else thinks about me. And we run ourselves ragged trying to fulfill everybody else's expectation, but the reality is what we have to do as followers of Jesus is fulfill the roles that God has called us to do. That's what matters the most. And if we have our identity in him, secure in that thing, secure in who we are as a son or as a daughter of God, everything else is going to fall into place, and we can trust that. But it has to start with us surrendering our heart to the Lord. After the heart, the second thing that you and I must love the Lord with is our soul. The soul is the part of you and I that by biblical definition is part of us, which you and I know is not part of our physical body. We have the physical body and then we have our soul, we have our spirit, right? It belongs to the Lord. What takes some people a long time to realize is that we have a God-shaped hole in our heart and we try to fill it with so many different things, but all those things are not Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can fill it. And if you think in terms of different things in our lives that we try to fill that thing up with, it won't meet it. In our DNA, when God designed you and I a long, long time ago, in our blueprints, in our instruction manual, so to speak, right? You and I are all programmed for direct to live in fellowship with the Lord. And when sin came into the picture, it messed things up. It skewed that. And so the Lord, when sin came into the picture, a void was created between us and God, and the Lord made a way for us to come back home, because there was nothing that you and I could do to bridge that gap between us and the Lord, right? You think about in the Old Testament and the system that they had in place for worship and how only the chief priest could go behind the curtain and into the place of the Holy of Holies and once a year make a sacrifice on behalf of all of Israel. And scripture tells us that the instance that Jesus died on the cross, when that happened, that the veil was torn in two from top to bottom. And that you and I, that signaled two things. You and I could go directly to God in communication with him. And that one of these things, these barriers that was in place, we could now go before the Lord and share our heart with him and share our needs. And he made a way. And so if we're talking about our soul, we have to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul. We have to live a life of true surrender. The love and forgiveness of Christ is the only thing that can fill that gap within us. One commentary puts it that our soul takes us much farther than our heart can. Why? Because this is the peace of which you and I know is tied to the Lord. And it's also why we don't want to follow our hearts, because scripture tells us in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is deceitful above all things. This is why we don't tell a student, oh, follow your heart, right? Just follow it. It'll be great. No, we love them enough to tell them, listen to the Lord and where he's telling you to go, because your heart has these things called emotions, and emotions can lead you astray. Emotions can be a good thing, but they can also mess you up, right? Can we just agree on that? It's one of those things where we have to be honest and we have to comb through these things and figure out what it is that we need to do in order to be obedient to the Lord. And so for you and I to love the Lord with all our soul is to put in the most sincere way, as Spurgeon put, the most sincere way, love the Lord. So not just to say it, but to live it out. To worship God in spirit and in truth. Not just saying we love the Lord with our mouth, but also with our daily actions. Now, after the soul is the mind. The mind is something which is very powerful. And also, you and I know it is something that can run away on us real quick if we allow us to, right? Like I think about being in school and sitting down, and sometimes the teacher would just be talking, and eventually their voice just turns into the Charlie Brown teacher, and they're not really saying anything anymore, and you're just trying to figure out what you're going to eat when you get out of school, right? Or maybe it's for you adults when you're at the workplace and you're in a meeting and you're just like, oh my, like, can I get out of this meeting? I have so many things to do. So you pay attention for the first 10 minutes and then you've lost everything else. And it turns out you needed to hold on to something in that meeting because it was your responsibility when you left, right? And so this means we have to do what we're called to do 100%. And we can't just sweep and hide things under the rug or, you know, we have to make the decision in our walks with Jesus as well. Are we going to be just the most popular people in our school or in our friend set? Or are we going to be the poster career dad or career mom or whatever it looks like? Or are we going to step into the role and into the identity which God has given us? So we can set our mind, right, on so many things, but do we fixate on the Lord? Do we spend time daily with him in prayer, in the word, right? Growing our mind is great in the academic sense, but we also have to feed our soul. We have to feed our soul. We have to dig into the word. We have to satisfy the spiritual hunger that you and I have for things that are deeper than things that the world gives us. You see, my favorite restaurant in the entire world, okay, students, they know this already, it is Chipotle, all right? I love Chipotle so much, and when I was a college student, I probably paid rent for the Fairmont location at least 2 times by myself, okay? Like, just from the sales they got from me, they were able to pay their rent for the month at that location, right? But I cannot put my love for Chipotle before the Lord. It wouldn't make sense. As much as I love to be filled with Chipotle, there is a hunger that I have for the Lord that Chipotle can't provide. How weird would it be for me to go to Chipotle and order my food, and then instead of when I really need somebody to pray for me, I just look at the cashier and I'm like, you gonna pray for me? Right? It's not their place, right? They'd be like, what do you want me to pray for? I don't typically pray for people. I just swipe the card and give them change and make sure they use their rewards app, right? They're like, that's my job. You're weird, guy, right? But we do this with other things, and it sounds so funny when I explain that part out to us, but we do it. We don't look to the Lord. We look to something else, right? We look to what our persona is on social media. And does our life look perfect there, right? Because the reality is we try to go and do all these things and we run ourselves ragged, but we just have to live for the Lord. And sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes you're going to upset people, right? Not everybody's going to be a fan because Jesus, the most perfect person, right, fully man, fully God, that ever lived on this earth, did everything right, and he still had people that were not in his fan club. Matter of fact, they were so much not in his fan club, they were the ones that said, crucify him. put him on the cross. This guy's saying he's the Son of God. But we're the religious people. We know what we're talking about. He is not the Son of God. He's a blasphemer. Put him on the cross. And then you look and you see the instance, like the thief on the cross that was next to Jesus and says, "Remember me on the day that you come into your kingdom." And in that moment, through that statement, that thief, that robber on the cross is showing Jesus that he has surrendered his all to him. He has given him his everything. And so Jesus doesn't tell him, "Hey, in 3 weeks you'll be with me in paradise." He doesn't say that. He says, "Truly today you will be with me." And some of us, we put off following Jesus, surrendering our all for such a large portion of our life. But my question is, why would you not surrender to him today? Because if you surrender to him today, you get the joy, one, of walking with him today, right? And you get the rest of your days, however many they are, here on this earth, you get to know the peace and the hope and the joy that is found in him. And it's not matched by anything, even Chipotle, right? So we have to give him that part of us, love him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And the last thing is our strength, right? And typically, guys, we think of strength as what we can do when we go to the gym, or you're like the guy where your friend's got to change the tire and you're like, "Don't worry, I've been working on my deadlifts," right? And you just like lift their car and you're like, "No sweat," right? And everybody's really impressed. I would be really impressed, right? So we think of strength in terms of like muscle or intellectual strength, maybe. Right? But typically, we don't think of the source of who gives us our strength, which is God. Right? Like, you guys know Chuck Davenport, our high school minister? I'm not trying to arm wrestle Chuck daily. I'm not trying to, because the Lord built Chuck and I very differently. And Chuck will crush me. Right? But every day, when Chuck and I come into work together to run the race that God has put before us, we are given a strength. When we go out on campuses, when we go to games, right? Whatever it looks like in student ministry, we go out and we do that knowing that God has given us strength. So wherever God has called you to live out your mission before him, know that he's given you the strength to do it. You have been empowered by the Holy Spirit as a follower of God to go and do great things for the kingdom. So when we talk about this passage this morning, the second thing I want to talk about is this. Self-care needs to morph to selflessness, right? Maybe you've heard this term before. You've seen it on the news. You've seen it on social media. Self-care, a new trendy word, right? Take care of yourself. And a lot of people, let's just be real, let's be transparent, use it honestly to defend their bad spending behaviors or doing things that temporarily may bring them happiness but don't ultimately serve a purpose. Going and getting a $300 massage, great, right? For usually about 1 hour and then you're done and you got to pay the $300 and you're done, right? Or going out and buying, guys, a brand new truck, right? That maybe you don't have the money for, so you go into debt to get it. Self-care, right? I deserve this truck. I'm gonna buy it. Self-care, right? God tells us here in this passage that the second greatest of all the commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. So self-care needs to morph to selflessness. And I'll be real and transparent. My natural tendency, even as a minister, sometimes is to not focus on everybody else, but to focus on in that moment what I desire. And it's something that I'm asking the Lord to do in my life, to work with me, to help me through those things. Students, what does it look like? Is it sitting with somebody in your lunchroom that sits alone? Right? Is it welcoming a sixth grader that comes into the ministry completely unaware of what we do on a daily basis and walking with them through those things? For those of us that are in the workplace, what does it look like for us to serve our coworkers. What does that look like? You see, it isn't always easy to be selfless, but this is what Jesus modeled in his ministry, more so than any other person who has ever walked the face of this earth. And this is what we strive for, right? Don't be known as a person who always only talks about themselves or thinks about themselves, but be like Christ and love and serve the people around you no matter where you are. No matter where you are or what other people think of you or what expectations they put on you, know who you are in the Lord and be obedient to the things that he's called you to do. Last point for the morning that I want to focus on is this. God doesn't want elaborate offerings. He wants our true worship. He doesn't want elaborate offerings. He wants us to just be true with him, to have honest hearts when we come and we worship, right? To not worry about what everybody else is doing, how they're worshiping, what are they going to think if I worship like this, just to worship before the Lord. Because what you're doing in that moment isn't for everybody else. What you are doing there in that moment is for him. You are responding to the one who gave you breath in your lungs so that you can praise him. And so what we have to do in our lives is realize God doesn't want you to just say, oh, look at all of this that I have given to the Lord. He wants our true worship. Right, we talked about Envision and what's going on there. We talked about recently the story, you know it from scripture, of the widow's mite. This lady didn't give really much of anything of value in that time. But what she gave was she gave all that she had. And Jesus said, look, this lady here who has given what she has given so much more than everybody else who just came in and dropped stacks. Or wrote out their check and made sure that everybody knew, right? And then dropped it in and was like, what's up, right? She gave her all. And when she gave that, the Lord knew where it was coming from. And so what we have to be careful of in our walks with Christ is that we're not trying to go and run this race right before and do all these elaborate things and make sure the eyes are on us or whatever our desire might be, but to live out true worship, because that's when everything changes. And here's something I want you to take home with you today, all right? You can give offerings out of obligation, but you can't live a life of obedience by accident. You can give offerings out of obligation, but you cannot live a life of obedience by accident, period. Being obedient, you have to be intentional. Being obedient, you have to recognize your purpose. And you may feel that you may not have a lot to give the Lord. However, give what you have. Give what you have. Devote yourself to obedience and see how God moves in your life. One of my favorite things when I got to work in that tire shop was to minister to the people that were around me. And I loved them. I would come home, talk about them all day to Carlin, right? Here's what we did today at work. Here's the crazy songs that we sang, right? Here's what we said to the customers that were running into the store 5 minutes before closing, right? And we were all in it together. Every day we had a goal, what we were supposed to do, how we were supposed to accomplish these things. And for you and I, God has given us the opportunity to be a part of this church family here at Sagemont. And God has given us an opportunity to minister to 77089, our immediate community, the communities around it, and to our city, and to impact the now generation, our generation, the generation after that, those that are coming up. And so what we have to do is we have to run the race well. And so God doesn't want these elaborate offerings. He doesn't want you to come every week with some giant golden bucket filled with coins. He wants you to just come, you, as he has made you, attempting to grow in him and to come to the altar and give what you need to give over to him. And when you do that, when you surrender those things to him, I promise you, watch and see what he does in your life. See the places that he takes you and what he will allow you to do for the glory and honor of his kingdom, right? There are so many different things that we get to do in our walks with Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or not. When I say us being able to do ministry, it's not that you have to be a pastor to do ministry. You go out and you love on people, whether those people love the Lord or whether they don't know him yet, right? You love them and you serve them. Why? Because Jesus came and served. Greatest example of humility ever. Son of God came down in flesh and bone and served mankind and went to the cross and died for the forgiveness of our sins, even though he lived a perfect life and didn't deserve it. And he said, if you destroy this temple, talking about his body, in 3 days I will reveal it. I will rise again, right? And so here's what happens. Here's how I know Jesus is who he said he is. On that third day, that tomb was empty. It was empty. And we talked about this morning in student ministry. He was even so nice as to fold up the linens. He was not there. He's alive. He is living and breathing. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we worship. And he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. And he is worthy of being proclaimed out of our mouths and our actions to people who need him. That's our job. So don't run the rat race. Focus on the things that God has called you to do as a believer. Focus on the great commandment and don't take the things that God is calling you and I to do as just a great suggestion. If your boss tells you to do something at work, you kind of have to do that thing. Otherwise, you're going to get written up or you may not have a job, right? So if the Lord is telling us to go out and to do these things, be obedient to those things and watch what God does. And so you might be here this morning, and maybe you're here visiting Sagemont for the first time, and one, I think that's awesome, and we're glad you're here this morning to worship with us, to open up the Word of God. But here's something that I just want to speak from my heart to you. You might be here this morning, you might have been to church 1,000 times, you might have been here for the first time. What Jesus did for mankind on the cross, right, when he died there for our sin, it doesn't mean that we have to be perfect to come to him. If we wait to be perfect to come to Jesus, we're going to wait the entirety of our life. So Jesus stands ready today to receive you, arms open. What we have to decide is whether we are ready to drop the things that we hold on to so dearly in our life and don't want to give over to him so that we can come to him. Because he stands ready to receive us. He stands ready to receive you today. But you have to make the decision to lay your faith in him, right? There's not a magical prayer. There's nothing that I can do to magically save you. It is you making a conscious decision, talking to the Lord to lay your faith in him. And it changes everything. And so if you're here this morning and you've been living life on the fence, my challenge to you, my encouragement to you is what is holding you back from giving your all, surrendering your life, laying your faith in Jesus? And why would you not put that thing aside, give it over to him, and lay your faith in him today? And so if you're here today and you know you are ready to make that decision, after service, there is a room in between both of our exit doors here in the back. It's called the Connection Center. There are people in there that are ready to pray with you, talk with you through, right, everything that you're thinking about here in this moment and what you might have already prayed to the Lord about and to encourage you. And so today, if that's where you're at, I encourage you to go to the Connection Center. And if you're here for the first time today,
right? And we're glad that you're here, that you worshiped with us as part of our family this morning. We would like to give you a gift for coming and worshiping with us. And so my wife and I would love to meet you in the hospitality room, which is here out to our left outside of the worship center as we close out this morning. And so here's what I want us to close with, right? God has called us all to take steps of faith to grow deeper in our walks with him. And it's kind of just like when we started swimming. Maybe your parents immediately throw you in the deep end, or your big brother, your big sister did, but that's not how it happened with me, at least, right? Shallow in, swimming lessons, all that kind of stuff, and eventually you're ready to dive in. But what the most important part is, how you get from the shallow to the deep is you got to take steps along the way. And so whatever steps it is that the Lord has called you to take today to go deeper in your walk with him, I pray that you would take those steps. So what I'd like to do to close this out this morning is I would like to pray for us, okay? Father God, thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for just how you are moving within our church body. And so, Father, we are grateful for who you are and how you've moved and the sacrifice on the cross that you made for us so that we could see, we could understand what it means to truly live, and that full, abundant life is found in you. And so, God, as we go out from this place and prepare for the week and everything that's in front of us, I pray that we would go out and we would be living proof. We would be an encouragement to the people who need it. And Father, that we would spend time with you as well, thriving in our walks with you, Father, because you are worthy of all of our praise, and to you goes all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.